From today's first reading, we hear, "Let your majesty not lose courage. I am at your service to go and fight this Philistine." Hello again. These words from the book of Samuel relate the story of David's courage in facing the giant Goliath. The story of David and Goliath is one of the more remarkable stories of courage in the entire Bible. As a child, I recall reading with great enthusiasm how the youthful David brought down the imposing Philistine Goliath. Vividly do I recall looking at a picture of the scene which sparked my imagination as I wondered with amazement David's courage in facing an enemy with just a slingshot and a stone. And while tempted to try my own hand with a slingshot and some stones, I was later taught to imagine how Jesus in his boyhood would certainly have learned about David, and how later in his life instead would have faced his enemies not with a slingshot and a stone, but with a cross and a crown. Today's reading from this book of Samuel offers us an opportunity then to consider how the stories of courage and heroism informs our own Christian call to be courageous. What's more, today's reading from Samuel occurs on the same day when in the Jesuit liturgical calendar, we honor a group of Jesuit martyrs for their heroism. Listen to these heroic witnesses of faith whom we honor today. There is St. John Ogilvy, who in 1615 was executed by hanging and represents Scotland's only post-Reformation martyr. There are the martyrdoms of Ignatius de Azevedo and 39 of his Portuguese Jesuit companions, who in 1570, on their voyage to Brazil, were massacred at sea by French Calvinist pirates. There are the French Jesuit father James Salas and his brother companion William Solmoshe, who were martyred in 1593. And finally, we commemorate the Jesuits Melchior Grodzicki from Poland and Stephen Pongrasz from Hungary, who along with their diocesan priest companion were martyred in Slovakia in 1619. Moreover, these courageous witnesses of faith were prescient of contemporary martyrdoms. You see, folks, since 1975, when the 32nd General Congregation promulgated the decree that to be a Jesuit is to serve the faith and promote justice, more than 80 Jesuits have been murdered in one way or another. One of the first was Rutilio Grande, a Jesuit from El Salvador, who was a close friend of Archbishop Oscar Romero. I should note that prior to Father Grande's beatification on Saturday, this Saturday, Georgetown University's Catholic Studies Center and the university's Barclay Center will host a conference titled The Life and Beatification of Reverend Rutilio Grande, S.J. A link to Friday's online conference and a brief background of Father Grande's courageous witness may be found next in today's homily. Returning to the story of David and Goliath, I should note that while David was not a martyr, his courage set the stage for those who courageously witnessed their trust in God. What's more, generations have learned that courage, or its more common term, fortitude, is one of the four cardinal virtues. Some years ago, when I taught moral theology to junior men at Gonzaga College High School, I would instruct them about these virtues. Besides courage, there are justice, wisdom, and temperance. As one commentator has written, there are four primary moral virtues which are called the cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. The word cardinal derives from the Latin cardo, meaning hinge. Consequently, these four virtues are called cardinal because all virtues are categorized under them and hinge upon them. The Book of Wisdom of the Old Testament states, "For wisdom teaches temperance and prudence, justice and fortitude, and nothing in life is more useful for us than these." I like to believe discussing the cardinal virtues had an impact on the moral formation of my teenage students. Think back, if you will, on your teenage years and consider this scenario. Imagine yourself in a classroom. You're a junior in high school, and I walk in and I invite you to learn a lesson. Imagine these words. Students, to have fortitude does not mean that you are immune from fear. Instead, if you have fortitude, you do recognize fear, but you do not allow fear to prevent you from doing what is good, or worse, to do what is evil. Think then of how important fortitude is if you are to withstand peer pressure. The virtue of fortitude, like a muscle, strengthens you to conquer the fear of death or persecution, and even to make the ultimate sacrifice of martyrdom. And students, you should know that virtues stemming from fortitude include magnanimity, which inclines you to perform great works in every virtue, munificence, which inclines you to perform great physical works, patience, which inclines you to endure present evils, and perseverance, which inclines you to continue steadfastly in the pursuit of virtue. And students, there are vices, and the contrary to fortitude. These vices include timidity, recklessness, presumption, ambition, vainglory, pusillanimity, inconstancy, and pertinacity. In this classroom scenario, I would include with, and students, of course, I expect you to know these virtues for your midterm exam. But more importantly, I hope that you apply fortitude and the other cardinal virtues every day of your life. Friends, let us pray that whatever our age, the courageous example of David and the witness of martyrs may inspire us to live our lives with fortitude and the other cardinal virtues offered by our faith.